always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Maine has blocked former President Trump from its Republican presidential primary ballot, citing the 14th Amendment's insurrectionist clause. The same reason cited by Colorado Supreme Court for disqualifying Trump. CBS News contributor and election law expert David Becker.
There is another pending matter in the United States Supreme Court based on the Colorado decision. So the United States Supreme Court could resolve this issue for all states at any point in time, and hopefully soon.
The Colorado Republican Party is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the state Supreme Court's ruling. So Colorado Secretary of State says Trump will be on the primary ballot for now. Israel expands battle zones in central and southern Gaza with refugee forces forced to flee the camps. The BBC's James Menendez also reports.
There have been fears of a second front opening up in the north, not with Hamas, but with Hezbollah, the Lebanese militia group that, like Hamas, is fighting for the destruction of Israel, is backed by Iran, and is designated a terrorist organization by many countries.
Residents along California's central coast are bracing for potentially dangerous high tides. KEYT-TV's John Palmenteri with Montecito resident Marco Farrell.
The warnings are out and they are serious.
This is going to be a full hit to our area and Southern California.
Those following the surf, the building swells and the powerful ocean pulses now winding up at sea are on social media and going out in person with a message to prepare.
You're on the beach, remove anything underneath your house and consider getting some plywood and battening the hatches.
The State Department says talks between Mexican and U.S. officials on stemming record high migration to the United States were productive, but the sides have more to do. CBS's Adrian Bard says the number of migrants is not going down anytime soon.
It's unlikely because the situation is so desperate in their home countries and because they do find opportunities in the U.S. And another factor is they have family in the U.S. So there's a hope for some of them that they can be reunited through some of these asylum processes.
Demolition crews have taken down the house where four Idaho students were killed last year. CBS's Elise Preston reports.
Family members wanted the house to remain standing through the trial.
The house was considered the largest piece of evidence that they had.
Steve Gonsalves is fighting to preserve all evidence linked to the murder of his daughter, Kaylee.
You can never get inside every juror's mind. And some of them are going to see things visually. Some are going to be audible. I just know that there's a risk taking it down.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Roll into this Friday night.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents will meet again Friday morning. On Wednesday night, they fired UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao after they learned he was making online pornography. The Board of Regents will meet in closed session to discuss ongoing personnel matters and to talk with legal counsel about potential litigation. Young people of color are still going to prison at disproportionate rates. Advocates for alternative sentences say young people need to be better equipped for life after incarceration.
It's not only about a public safety argument, though I think it's very important to recognize that kids who are held in these facilities are in fact more likely to reoffend and more likely to reoffend on a more serious charge the next time.
Joshua Rovner is the Youth Justice Director for the Sentencing Project. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks knock off the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks red hot again, a 144-122 win in Brooklyn over the Nets, who for some reason rested three of their starters. Giannis with 32 points, 10 rebounds. Chris Middleton, a season-high 27 points, in a game where the Bucks had a team-high 41 assists.
We're going to get great looks, and we got guys that can knock down shots. We play unselfish, make plays for one another. We'll be good.
They head to Cleveland to play the Cavaliers tomorrow night. NFL, former Packers Julius Peppers and guard Jari Evans named finalists on the ballot for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Evans played right guard for the Packers in 2017 after 11 years with the Saints. Players react to Jair Alexander being suspended 1 week for conduct detrimental to the team. Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think he has a unique personality, but I think Jair is a great teammate. He always has the right interest in his heart.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A rain or snow shower possible this evening, otherwise a cloudy night tonight and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, highs right around 40 degrees. We'll start off Saturday sunny, then clouds move in, highs upper 30s, some flurries or snow showers possible Sunday. Right now it's 33.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me as we get ever closer to New Year's Eve. Every night is New Year's Eve when I get to host Nightlight, because it's the night before something big. And when I say something big, of course, I mean tomorrow night's show. This is the Nightlight Eve of tomorrow night's show, so I'm excited. And the buildup is always more fun. It's kind of cool. Like, when I was a kid, I remember having a discussion with someone saying, they wished that New Year's was first because Christmas, it can't follow Christmas. But I kind of like that. I kind of like that Christmas is like the big dealio, but then you still have something to kind of look forward to. You can stay up a little later, watch some Marx Brothers movies, watch a little football the next day. I kind of like the way it is. Which leads me to tonight's question. What holiday after Christmas and New Year's do you most look forward to? Me, I'm an Arbor Day guy. Not going to lie to you. Arbor Day is my day. What is yours? What holiday after Christmas and New Year's do you most look forward to? You can let us know. And really, you can chime in at any point during the show to discuss what you're watching, what we're talking about. We love interaction. And we welcome it. So please join us. Let's have some, let's connect and get some discourse going and have fun on Nightlight Eve of Nightlight. What holiday after Christmas and New Year's do you most look forward to? 920-264-0606. If you're using what I like to call a cellular telephone, but the best way, or another really good way to contact us, is through the Civic Media app. It's very easy to use. Click on the show, and right underneath it, there's a text icon. You can text us throughout the show if you like. And you can also call at 920-264-0606. So we'd love to hear from you. And we got a fun show tonight. 7,000 Apart is back with us tonight. They're going to join us a little later. Amelie and John, they have such a great story. They're a alt-pop duo based here in Green Bay, and they split time between here and Sweden. They met when Amelie was an exchange student. I think it was at Preble. Conrad, was it at Preble?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Kind of irrelevant, but, you know, just have a shred of journalistic integrity here. Yeah, it was at Preble, and they became friends, and they fell in love, and they had this relationship. She went back to Sweden. He was in school in Kentucky, and they kept it going. And now they're married and performing all over the world, and they're going to be in the studio. We had them on a few weeks ago, and they're leaving for Sweden in about 2 weeks. So I wanted to get them back on the show before they left, and then they'll be back in the summer. So 7,000 Apart will join us in the studio tonight. And this is going to be fun. In just a little while, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to do a deep dive into Wisconsin native Wisconsin legend Orson Welles. He didn't live here that long, but he has a kind of a long history with the state, with Kenosha and Madison to a lesser degree. Frank Anderson is a show business kind of renaissance man. He's played with humongous rock world. He's a documentary filmmaker, a commercial film director, and he's just everywhere. I'll be watching a documentary on HBO, and he's one of the guys they're talking to, and it's like, oh my God, that's Frank. He makes his home in Appleton now and has a website, which is a lot of fun, called Wisconsinology. And he is fast becoming a regular on the show because I always see stuff and I'm like, oh, this would be good to talk to Frank about. So Orson Welles did some really bad commercials where he was inebriated. And I mean, you can laugh at him because he's a legend anyway, and no one's above a little laughter. So we'll do a deep dive into Orson Welles commercials and a little bit into his life with Frank Anderson at the bottom of the hour. Because that's what we do here. We talk about show business and fun Wisconsin stuff. And it's nice when they intersect like that. I love that. So that is our show tonight. And also, it is Denzel Washington's birthday. And I always liked Denzel Washington. But in the last 10 years, I put him right up there with the greatest actors slash movie stars. Because he's one of those guys who's both. He's a movie star and he's a phenomenal actor. And it's either like, seems like they're either movie stars or actors. Sylvester Stallone is a movie star, although he has acted brilliantly at times, like in Rocky. Schwarzenegger, movie star. Bruce Willis, not a bad actor, but a movie star. Tom Cruise, movie star, but also a pretty good actor. But Denzel Washington, I just think his body of work is really tough to argue with. And we'll hear some Denzel Washington clips throughout the show. And maybe even, Conrad, who else? Oh, we were talking about people that died this year. And last night we discussed Lance Reddick and Richard Roundtree, who played Shaft, and Tina Turner. Matthew Perry passed away this year too, and he's given us some good laughs over the years. So we might hear a couple of Matthew Perry clips throughout the show. Let's just survey the scene and see where we land. That's the new show motto, Conrad. Survey the scene and see where we land.
I like it.
Do you? Yeah. Am I stealing that from somewhere? It sounds frighteningly familiar. So I might be plagiarizing, but, you know, plagiarism is the greatest form of flattery, something like that. I don't know. The movie Black Hawk Down came out on this day in 2001. Still, or at least then, was one of the most intense movies I've ever seen. I was still living in Los Angeles. I went to see it at Man's Chinese Theater with my pal Rich Brown. And I think my friend Mike Siegel was with us, and the three of us are sitting there, and the movie starts. The theater was pretty empty, and it's a huge theater. And I hear this, I hear a pop top coming off. I hear this, psst. And it's my buddy Rich Brown cracking a beer at Man's Chinese Theater. You know, here I am 30. I'm like, oh, you're breaking the rules, man. You can't do that. This is like a serious theater. He's like, what, am I the only guy that comes from a family who snuck beer into the movies? So that's my memory when Black Hawk Down was released 22 years ago today, almost 23. Tom Smothers passed away yesterday, part of the Smothers Brothers comedy team. He and his brother Dick were very funny guys. Hey, do we have that clip ready, Conrad?
Yep.
Let's start with a laugh. This is a clip. Tom and Dick Smothers, they had a variety show back in the 60s or 70s. It was kind of before my time. But I grew up watching clips of them, and my dad would watch them. So here's a clip. Tom Smothers passed away yesterday at 86. This is a clip from the Smothers Brothers TV show.
Well, Tommy, here we are. It's, you know, it's the night before Christmas.
I know it is. You know, and I know all around the country, there are people out there waiting, eagerly waiting for Santa Claus, you know, as they gaily place Christmas packages under the trees and singing all the traditional Christmas songs.
That's
and
right.
Drinking the traditional Christmas drinks, you know, that's Tom right. And Dickie's.
That's right.
Probably and having a big time.
No, Tommy, Tom and Jerry's. You made a mistake. It's Tom
no,
and Jerry's.
It's Tom and Dickie's.
Jerry's. Tom and Jerry's.
I'm just trying to give you a plug.
I don't need a plug. I don't care if it's Tom and Jerry's. You know what I want from you?
What?
I want you to tell this traditional poem you said you were going to say. You know, this is Christmas Eve, and you're going to tell everybody a traditional poem.
Okay.
Christmas poem, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls and friends, I would like to recite a poem by heart and by memory, the traditional Christmas poem at this time, and I quote it. Here it goes.
Okay, go ahead.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. When up on the rooftop I heard such a clatter, I sprang to the window and threw up.
Go ahead, finish it.
What do you mean?
Finish it.
That's all I remember. I guess I had too many Tom and Dickies.
So there's my little tribute to a guy I didn't know much about, but always got a kick out of their clips when I would see them in years past. I'm always amazed too. I love when I meet older comics than me. I used to be a stand-up comic, and they've met these guys, like the generations kind of connect and the stories they have are so much fun. But that's Tom Smothers, passed away yesterday at 86. And we got our first text. Tonight's question, what holiday after Christmas and New Year's do you most look forward to? St. Patrick's Day. Wow, that's a good one. That comes up kind of quick, too. Conrad, you like St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, I love it.
What do you do on St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I usually drink the green Miller Lite.
Green Miller Lite?
Yep.
Yeah, that's healthy. I'm guessing you drink a lot. Do you have any Irish blood in you?
I do.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Krieger is what, German?
German, yeah.
Okay. But you got the Irish blood. That's good. Not that you need it. Everybody celebrates St. Patrick's Day. So that's from the 608, St. Patrick's Day. Thank you for chiming in. And then, my favorite texter, Conrad. Conrad's mom, Paula. I don't know if I'm on first name basis with her or not yet, but she says her birthday in February.
Yep.
All right. Here's what we'll do. Maybe as a birthday present to your mom, we'll have her on the show on her birthday because she's been our most consistent texter, which I think is really sweet, honestly. And
I think she would love that.
Do you think so? Would she do that? Okay. So, remind us, Mrs. Krieger, Mrs. K, or Paula, whatever you prefer. Also from the 608, family reunion every year. Those are fun, too. I thought most people would say, like, the 4th of July. We got a ways to go. They can still chime in, but or Easter, that's a big one. But do you ever celebrate Arbor Day, Conrad?
I can't say I do.
Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
That's probably why you don't celebrate. It has to do with trees.
Oh, great.
So we celebrate trees. We plant trees, you know, because the person who understands the true meaning of life, Conrad, is the person who plants a tree under which he will never sit.
Yeah.
You got that, young blood?
Because it takes so long for it to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
paying it forward.
Exactly.
The journey of life. You strike me as, I know you're much younger than me, but I can tell you're wise beyond your years. So when I say young blood, I say it kind of ironically because you seem like sort of an old soul. But Mrs. Krieger, we'll have her on. That'll be fun. And on her birthday. When is her birthday, by the way? Do you know?
February 3rd.
Okay. Oh, February. Oh, that's a Saturday. I got a comedy event that night. I'll have to have her on like the Friday before. The Paula Krieger birthday eve. We'll make it a big celebration. We'll do that. We'll kick it off. We'll have a countdown. I'll see if we can get Dick Clark on the show that night. He might have passed away. Maybe Ryan Seacrest. All right. So that's our question for tonight, folks. What holiday do you most look forward to after Christmas and New Year's? 920-264-0606. Or text us on the app or call. We'd love to hear from you. And when we come back, we're going to take a really, really, this is like not even a break. You don't even have time to run to the bathroom. Unless you just want to like knock on the door. We're going to talk baby names. Conrad found a fun baby name list. Horrible baby names. We have to discuss these before we get to Frank Anderson at 8:30. It's Pete Schwabba. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back. Do you like your name? Some people do, some people don't. It's a toss-up. I think at some point everybody has an issue with their name. Like, you have that moment where it's like, Mom, Dad, come on, you're killing me. I'm 11 and I want to be named Duke. And you gave me, I'm Peter. That's, you know, that could be construed as a, I won't get into it. Conrad, do you like your name?
I do.
Yeah, it's a good name.
I think it's a
solid American name.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We are broadcasting live, by the way, from the City Deck WGBW studios statewide. Hope you're listening all over the state, spending a Thursday evening with us where we are moving our conversation to baby names. Conrad found this list. They were the most, these are the most popular names, right? For boys and girls. They're not really divided.
Yeah, they were the most popular baby names this year of 2023.
This is from WKOW.com in Madison.
Yep.
Of the nearly 5,000 babies born in Unity Point Health, Meritor in 2023, Theodore and Emma were the top names. Theodore. Wow. See, I love the name Teddy or Ted. And maybe that's what they're going for, but Theodore Roosevelt, phenomenal American. Founder of the parks, you know, resigned as Undersecretary of the Navy and enlisted because he didn't want men to go into war. He felt bad sending them, so he joined. He's like in his 40s and had asthma. Led the charge up San Juan Hill, I think. I could see that. People love to name their kids after famous people, and that guy's got the goods, man. Theodore Roosevelt. Henry or Henry. With a Y or an I. Oliver. Oliver's a very popular name now. Yeah. Emma. Seems like Emma's been like the most popular for like 20 years. Evelyn. That's a good one. Eleanor. Charlotte. Charolette. Maybe they say it the same way. Owen. Jack. Ava. Don't get that one. Ben or Benjamin. Nora. Ezra. Violet. Hazel. Most of those I like. You got a problem with any of these, buddy?
I don't.
No.
I think they're pretty common now. That's the only thing. I feel like It's getting more common than unique names.
Hudson. That's an interesting one. I haven't heard that too much. But Ava, that was like Hitler's love interest. It's a beautiful name. I mean, That's the problem. I know my aunt had a dog named Ava. It was a great dog. So that's what I like to think about when I think of the name Ava. But Leo is a cool name. Logan, Nora, Theodore. Yeah. Okay. So these are great. I also researched unpopular baby names for boys and girls, and I found this. This was on the sun.com. Adolf is on there, of course. And the name Hitler, like someone's using that for a first name, Hitler. Okay. You pretty entrenched in your beliefs or willing to suffer the consequences through your child if you name him Hitler. Diesel is on there. Would you name your kid Diesel, Conrad?
I don't know about that.
I mean, it's like obviously you're trying to like make this kid a tough guy, I guess. I mean, what if that's fine, but like what if he like grows flowers that you want to have him stuck with a name like Diesel? Danger is on here. Some people are naming their child Danger. And he better be feared. Or he will be subjected to a serious beating on a daily basis. I don't understand. Cletus is on here. Yeah. Come on, really? In this day and age, you going to name your kid Cletus? It's kind of a cool name.
It is.
I like the name myself, but I associate it with that character on The Simpsons that they always make fun of. Here's a couple more. Lucifer. Yeah, well, what's your son's name? Lucifer. Yeah, we see big things for him. And Hugo. And then the girls' names are Bieberly, Beberly, B-E-B-E-R-L-Y. Sometimes I think people just misspell things on the birth certificate. And then their poor child is stuck with that name their entire life. Beberly or Bieberly? Neither one makes sense. Blakely. B-L-A-Y-K-E-L-E-E. Blakely?
That's a weird one.
This gets worse. Hang in there. Here's my favorite on this on the girl's baby name list. Boomquifa. That sounds like a balderdash word. Boom, B-O-O-M-Q-U-I-F-A. So maybe it's Boomquifa? Either way, that girl is going to have a hard time finding a husband. Unless she marries Danger. Or Jax, J-A-X. And of course, Jedi is on here too. Yeah, that's my son, Jedi. You're kind of like picking or trying to pick their path. But the idea that they would actually land where you want them to, I don't know. Here's one, Murica.
That was, wow.
I wouldn't do it, but that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure there are people that, oh, honey, you got to get pregnant. I have to have a child named Murica. I don't want the bloodline to end here. Chardonnay, of course. That's right under Boomquifa. Boomquifa. And Veraminta. Boy, the girls' names are worse. What are these people doing? The worst one I met when I lived in L.A., there was someone in our neighborhood you do that thing like where you're walking babies, and I got my son and the baby born, and there's this kid in a stroller, and I said, oh, what's your son's name? Jadenton. Not Jade, not Jaden. Jadenton. Like, there's a contest for the most syllables you can have in a name. Winner. So, there you go. Some bad baby names. So, Conrad, what do you have? It's Denzel Washington's birthday today. And we're going to hear from Denzel from some of his amazing movies a little later after we talk to Frank Anderson. Do you have a favorite Denzel movie?
I don't have a favorite one. I think he's great in everything he acts in, you know?
He's great. And you know what? He's got that thing that I like where he's not like a steroid action hero like, you know, John Cena or Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, you know, some of these guys are likable, but it's like he's just kind of that tough guy that looks normal. Those are the ones to be feared those are the ones I relate to most, maybe because I am not very muscular anymore. But it makes me live vicariously through that character. So, and I know you have a favorite Matthew Perry movie because when we were talking before the show, you pulled a clip from, tell me the name of it again.
Whole Nine Yards.
Yeah. Funny movie. So we'll play a little of that too. We got some Tommy Smothers working. Frank Anderson, as I mentioned, is going to be with us after this short break we have to take here. And we're going to talk about Orson Welles. Maybe one of the most famous Wisconsinites, certainly one of the most accomplished, and certainly in show business. Born in Kenosha and kind of lived around various parts of Wisconsin and went out to do just pretty much amazing things. But beyond that, he's a very eccentric character. So in just a few minutes, we'll be back with Wisconsinology.com and showbiz renaissance man and great Wisconsinite, Frank Anderson. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time you hesitate is through. The time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Trump will be removed from the primary ballot in Maine under the Insurrection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The Trump campaign says it will appeal. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This was not a court proceeding. It was a hearing before Maine's Secretary of State, the official that usually regulates statewide elections. Maine allows the Secretary of State to disallow candidates without a court or legislative ruling.
CBS News contributor and election law expert David Becker points out.
She also, understanding the import of this rule, stayed the decision pending judicial review in the Maine courts, knowing that this is just the first step of an overall review.
The provision used in Maine is the same one cited recently by the Colorado Supreme Court to remove Trump from the ballot in that state. However, Trump will now remain on the Colorado ballot while state Republicans appeal the ban to the U.S. Supreme Court. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden called the recently passed former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl one of the finest people he ever worked with. State Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler.
The only person that he was working for was you, the voter. It wasn't about special interests or about big money donors or anything else. He was there to do the work because he loved Wisconsin and he wanted to lift Wisconsin up.
Flags around Wisconsin are lowered to half staff until after Cole's funeral. He died Wednesday after a brief illness. Cole was 88. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt is filing a petition with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to try and keep Donald Trump's name off Wisconsin's presidential ballots next year. The commission has already rejected the petition, though it is likely to end up in the courts. I'm Nate Buggyhout, Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on the Careers tab.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A rain or snow shower possible this evening, otherwise a cloudy night tonight and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, highs right around 40 degrees. We'll start off Saturday sunny, then clouds move in, highs upper 30s, some flurries or snow showers possible Sunday. Right now it's 33.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Night Lights. On a joyous Denzel Washington birthday, we celebrate the man who has made many movies, and to a lesser degree, Matthew Perry, who's brought us some laughter, but left us this year. We'll talk about both of them coming up. And 7,000 Apart will be in studio performing before they head off to Sweden until summer. So they'll be here in a little bit, a really fun up-and-coming music duo, alt-pop duo, as they are called. But right now, I'm going to talk to, we want to talk about another fine actor and native Wisconsinite with showbiz renaissance man and founder of Wisconsinology.com and friend of the show, Frank Anderson. Frank, how are you?
Wonderful. Beautiful night, huh?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And I can call you, this is your third appearance in this very young show, so I think, you know, that constitutes friend of the show, right?
Yes, yes. It doesn't constitute a cake.
We'll send you a cake.
Excellent.
Fruitcake. We talked about fruitcake last night. Do you like fruitcake, Frank, with the nuts and the fruit?
No, I do not.
I do not either. It's just those two things. It's overproduced. I do not like fruitcake. But it's good to have you with us because we're going to talk about Orson Welles. I should just introduce you as proud Wisconsinite.
There you go.
Yeah, because you know a lot.
I like that much better.
All right. Moving forward.
Although I did like the Doors doing the intro.
Oh, did you? Okay. Noted. Yeah. Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
Not to be confused with a powder. No, come back, Conrad. Okay. So, Frank, this was fun. We kind of talked about doing this, and I went to Wikipedia because I had to brush up on my Orson Welles. I went to IMDb, Wikipedia, a couple other websites, and I just want to make sure we're supposed to talk about Orson Welles, the film director, and not the Massachusetts businessman. It's the same name.
Does the Massachusetts businessman even appear? Where were you? Page 80?
No, I was page one. If you're looking for the Massachusetts businessman, Orson Welles, click here.
Oh, God.
Like how they do that sometimes on Wikipedia. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's probably interesting,
too. Orson Welles is so overwhelming. He overwhelms everything.
Yeah.
He completely overwhelms the internet. He overwhelms every director that ever directed. He invented everything. And his work schedule alone in, let's say, mid-1935, even before he made movies, is exhausting. It's exhausting to even read about him.
You know, it's exhausting, but and especially what he did so young. I forgot, like, I read a book about the guy like 30 years ago. I forgot he was doing theater and radio, and he would cab it back and forth in Manhattan, oftentimes arriving late because he was just so busy. And I guess at that age, you have that energy, but it's incredible. And no surprise that he got to where he was.
It's beyond that. So at age 19, he's age 20, actually. He's we have to be authentic here.
Yeah.
He's directing, he's directing, writing, acting. He's filling in for the Shadow, which is almost the most popular show on radio. By age 22, he is hands down the greatest radio director and stage director in America. For all you people who are annoyed by the guy that comes or girl that comes down the aisle behind you during a stage production, which is standard issue high school stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can blame Orson for that.
No kidding.
He came up with everything.
Wow. And here, you know what I read, Frank? This is cool. I want to tell you this, and then I want to kind of go back to his Kenosha. Let's work chronologically if we can. But it says, and I think I got this off IMDb, Welles traveled to Europe using a small portion of his inheritance. His dad passed away when he was like 15. Welles said that while on a walking and painting trip through Ireland, he strode into the Gate Theatre in Dublin and claimed he was a Broadway star. The manager of the Gate, Hilton Edwards, later said he did not believe him, but was impressed by his brashness and the impassioned audition he gave. Like, who does that at that age?
Well, he always had that voice, the voice that you and I know from commercials and endless documentaries. And everybody's movie had Orson talking. So the voice was a gift, and it was his entree into everything.
Yeah, and what a voice it was.
You know a great actor. They have the voice.
Yeah.
They talk to you and you go, oh my God, there's the voice. And Orson had that at a very young age.
Yeah, it just grabs you. And now, he was born in Kenosha And he lived there just for a few years, but he kind of bounced around. He lived in Chicago for a while. He went to grade school in Madison. And then he said he was bounced around so much, and his parents died young, both of them. And he ended up kind of calling, he called Woodstock, Illinois home when he thought of home, because he lived there for 4 years. Like,
well, Woodstock, Illinois was very progressive, and it opened its arms to someone like Orson Welles, who was writing, directing, and producing plays.
Yeah.
But, you know, at age 12,
jeez,
it loved him. It loved him. His brother Dickie was institutionalized. I just want to put this down. He was institutionalized and spent his life in Wisconsin. And Orson, he was the last link to Orson's family. Orson's film, The Magnificent Ambersons, is, I think it's my favorite, but it's really about his own family and how they, by age 15, they were gone with the wind. He had no family by that point.
That'll get you some moxie too, right? I mean, going through that and his dad's an alcoholic, and they said that he left his dad to prove a point, and then his dad died, and Orson Welles thought he drank himself to death because of what Orson Welles, because he gave him an ultimatum, so to speak.
Yes. Jeez. Orson is a force of nature, and he is the genius of the 20th century. He completely dominates three art forms. And funny enough, he's not even my favorite director from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Whoa. Lay it on me.
My favorite director is Eddie Klein, a gag man who directed all of Buster Keaton's early movies.
Oh, no way.
His shorts, the ones that we still watch today,
yeah,
number on YouTube. And he directed The Bank Dick with W.C. Fields.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Yeah, and a great gag man. He came up with, we got to get back to Orson.
Yeah, we'll do Eddie Klein another day.
We got to do Eddie Klein.
But you were saying, like, he, for what his contributions, I mean, his dad, I loved when I read this, his dad was a well-to-do inventor. I never think of an inventor as well-to-do, because anytime I've met someone and they said they're an inventor, it's like, okay.
He was a wealthy inventor. And,
yeah.
And his thing was, he invented the most popular bicycle lamp,
right,
in America, but he also applied that to automotive products.
That's incredible.
The bottle got in the way.
Yeah. And it said he was adept at magic, painting, and the piano, but after his mom died when he was like 15 or maybe 8 or 9, he stopped playing the piano.
It crushed him because he couldn't touch a key on the piano without thinking of his mother. His mother nurtured him. That was his safe haven.
Man. So eccentricity was like in their whole family's DNA. I mean,
right.
It's just incredible.
But he was, I knew someone who knew Orson quite well. And he said this, you know, being around this force of nature was exhausting.
Yeah.
Impossible to keep up. His mind was so far ahead of everything. And one of his obscure movies is called F is for Fake.
Oh.
And 1973, which is about how, well, what did Houdini say? Everything's a trick. Everything's a trick, no matter what it is. PR, it's a trick. Everything is a trick.
Yeah.
Oh, my house is haunted. Well, that's a trick too.
Wow.
And I can't wait to get into that with you. I'm your ace debunker anytime you get any ghost people on your show. And don't let me near those Bigfoot people. I will crush them.
Oh, we are going to have some fun with that. I do have a story. I think I told you last time at the Comedy Cafe, the Comedy Condo where they put the comics up, Kitty Corner from the club on Van Buren and Brady in Milwaukee was haunted. Weird stuff happened. And I'm sure it can all be explained, but I'll share those stories with you because I would love for you to debunk them for me because I still have nightmares.
Wonderful. And I might bring my friend Mike the Plumber too, because he can debunk them quicker than I can.
Okay. Hey, that sounds like fun. I'm going to hold you to that. That would be a blast. So, and then I'm reading, here's this guy. I love reading about people like this. As I get farther along in this article, it says he was a bullfighter in Morocco. I mean, what? This guy is like, how has there not been a movie, or has there been, made of Orson? Like, he made Citizen Kane about William Randolph Hearst, a larger-than-life character, but he's larger than life. When is that film coming?
Well, there are. Someone portrays Orson. In fact, there's a British actor right now who looks just like him and has already portrayed him twice in various, as a secondary character.
Yeah.
Not as a primary character. And there is a film about the making of his famous, stunning Broadway off-Broadway production, The Cradle Will Rock.
Right.
And I believe it's titled that. But he appears constantly, but there is no big, major Orson biography, which would be a streaming series.
Yeah, okay.
An incredible streaming series.
That would be a tough to pack his life into one movie, unless it was like a Scorsese
right.
length.
And let's face it, I don't care what anyone says, movies are dead.
Oh, that's a different conversation, Frank. You make movies. How can you say that?
Because that's how I know.
Hey, don't drag all of us down with you.
You're all coming with me.
Speaking of which, and that's a great point, a series. I just watched Maestro, liked it, but most biopics, I'm watching a biopic, it's a reenactment. Not that they're not good, but Orson Welles, that would be something like in a series. I think that's the way to go. And you're just the guy to do it, so.
Yeah, right. I'm a good. What I do a lot these days is I'm the Wisconsin advisor on productions.
Oh,
how about that?
I like that title. So tell us what that entails. I can kind of guess, but
I tell them some amazing things like, no, the Wisconsin accent as we know it is something that developed after 1920, and most Wisconsinites before that did not have the accent.
No kidding.
It's a lessening of the heavy Germanic and Polish population that was here, and that took time, so that did not occur until later. And it's really a recent thing, but I just was on a call where I assured them that no one should be using a Wisconsin accent in their production, which takes place in 1880.
Well, and you don't, I mean, what's so funny is I was working on a show with a big producer who doesn't have a lot of connections to Wisconsin. So I think the actor would struggle with the accent. I go, not everybody here has the accent. It's worse than some people. It's not even existent in other people. So, you know, if you want to do it for comedic purposes, fine, go ahead. Just get it right. But yeah, I'm kind of with you.
Well, then you're doing a whole Charlie, you know, Charlie Behrens doesn't live everywhere.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. I have no proof of that, but I'll take your word for it. Really, and then we have to go to a break in about a minute, and then I have a clip I want to play for you that we discussed. But what I thought was interesting about Welles is most of his, and I didn't know this until tonight, most of his movies were box office failures.
That's right.
How do you keep making movies? Is he that much of a force of nature? He can still get them made? I mean.
Well, yes, they were box office failures, but they brought immense prestige to the studios.
Okay, sure.
Up to a point. And he did star in the biggest movie of 1950-51, The Third Man. Not directed, but of course starred, which made him the number one star in the world at that time. That was a huge international success.
Let's hold that thought, and then let's come back, and I want to ask you, here's my teaser. Orson Welles ate hot dogs. Frank and I will get into that after the break. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight with Frank Anderson, too, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Help me out. Where we sit in the car outside your house. You're quiet. I can feel the heat coming round. I go to put my arm around you and you give me a look like I'm way out of bounds. Well, you let one of your boy's eyes, but lately when I look into your eyes, I'm going down, 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 down. I'm going down, 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 down. I'm going down, 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 down. I'm going down, down, down. Come on!
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Our question tonight, what holiday do you most look forward to after Christmas and New Year's? From the 262. My favorite holiday is also my birthday, which is also in February. Also, what's the difference between Earth Day and Arbor Day? Oh, boy. If we weren't so deep into Orson Welles, I would answer that. Conrad, take a memo. Let's find out for this guy. This is Greg from Waukesha. We're talking with Frank Anderson, and we're talking Orson Welles. And, okay, so, Frank, it says, I think this was on IMDb, it said he once ate 18 hot dogs in one sitting at Pink's. In Los Angeles at the hot dog stand.
Well, to which I reply, that's all.
Yeah, because it said his dinner consisted every night of two steaks cooked rare and a pint of Scotch whiskey. So 18 hot dogs for lunch does not seem like a stretch.
He loved food. And yeah. The easiest way to get Orson Welles to work for you for a low salary, let's say Pete Schwab is about to do The Godfather, Green Bay 2, and Orson is still alive somehow.
Oh, man.
The way to get him is to find the best damn chef you can find and say, Orson, I got this chef. He's going to cook for you. He'd say, I'm on.
Done deal. That's so great. And I hate when I hear stuff like that, and I can't go back and look at Pink's and just go, Orson Welles sat there. I mean, maybe it's a totally different location, but I love that kind of stuff. So, Frank, we pulled a couple clips from, this is Orson Welles doing a wine commercial for Parmesan, who he was the spokesperson for a few years, I guess. And I pulled this at your request. I hope I got the right one. Conrad, leave the mics on and let's listen to this so Frank can comment if he wants.
Turn camera.
Marked.
102, take one. With overlap, action please. Action, Orson, please.
You just do anything?
No, sorry, cut.
Yeah, rolling.
102, take two.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Parmesan, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Parmesan.
All right, that's
102, take three.
So, Frank, here, that was not a Wisconsin accent. Where did that accent come? He's got like famous person accent.
He had that accent that London Fontaine had. Right. That I'm an actor. Accent.
Yes, exactly.
How do they say it? Centaurian. And that isn't exactly, he made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of commercials. He knocked them out. He did them all the time. And there is not an ad agency I have worked for, and I've worked for a lot of them, who did not bring that clip up and start laughing. But they were deriding Orson. He got that a lot, where people were always trying to knock him down. Once again, because he was too much. Wow. But Orson, I always remind people, Orson had more talent in the bunion in his left foot, and he had a lot of bunions in his left foot than the combined assembly on that set. And they were lucky to work with him. And,
oh, yeah.
And it does not bear bad on Orson at all, because it's kind of a pathetic thing. He's a spokesman for Paul Masson. He might as well be a spokesman for Dinky Moore beef stew, right? And his greatness is diminished, and they're making fun of him. Well, guess what? Guess who's the true great one in the end?
Yeah, I mean, he was beyond that. He was above the law, so to speak.
Oh,
I mean, and the best
God,
part about that commercial are those two people, that young couple cast, and they're just kind of looking, and they're sitting there with a legend who can't remember his line, and he says, doesn't he say something first?
They should relish that moment.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of their lives. They were in a room with a great one.
Yeah, exactly. He was...
And they're in the ad industry, for God's sake.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, that's even serious.
Right. That's hilarious. So here's the other thing. His ashes are buried inside an old well covered by flowers within the rural property of the now deceased, then retired bullfighter, Antonio Ordóñez, in Spain. Even in death, he's eccentric. Like, this guy is like a larger than life character. He was a suspect, or almost a suspect, in the Black Dahlia case. I assume you knew that because you know everything about the guy.
Yes,
but that surprised me. How did
happen? Well, I can, Your Honor, I can clear this matter up very quickly. count the suspects in the Black Dahlia case,
okay,
and that'll answer your question.
Fair enough, yeah. Frank Sinatra was the godfather to his daughter, Rebecca. Just another great tidbit I loved reading.
Yeah,
He was the first choice for the voice of Darth Vader.
Oh, he would have been great.
He would have been phenomenal. I mean, they did okay. That franchise is not lacking.
Oh,
Pee Wee Herman could have done the voice, but
they did fine.
Yeah, they did okay. And he has a star for acting and a star for radio on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yes.
Just another great tidbit about him.
No one cares about those stars. Isn't that funny?
No, I know. You have to pay for them.
Yeah, you have to pay for them. But when I'm there and I walk over them, I know who they are, but I'm kind of weird. And,
thank God
know,
for that. That makes what, that's what makes you such a great radio guest.
What's that?
I said that you're weird, if that's what you mean, but that's what makes you a great radio guest. So I didn't know all this stuff. And here's the other one. He played Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse. Or no, he was the first choice for Colonel Kurtz.
Yeah.
Coppola's first choice, which he would have been great at that too.
All these baby boom directors from George, Steven, Francis Coppola, they all talked big about one of the greatest influences of their life, Orson Welles. They all had the power to hire him.
Yeah.
And yet in the end, they did not. Not one of them. Which is, that's a crime against cinema.
Yeah. Well, Frank, I consider you a mentor, and obviously now we've established you're a friend of the show, so I don't have a problem suggesting homework, and that would be work on the Orson Welles miniseries, and I will be happy to assist in any way I can. But it was great having you tonight, Frank. Thanks so much. Have a great
thanks for having me.
Have a great New Year.
It's always nice to be on your show.
You got it, buddy. Great having you. Thanks. That's Frank Anderson. If you have not been to wisconsinology.com, you got to check it out. It's an excellent website, especially if you love Wisconsin. So many great stories and tall tales on there. It's excellent. When we come back, we're going to talk about Denzel Washington and Matthew Perry, and 7,000 Apart is coming up soon, too. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Hi, Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.